as if there needs to be a lot of speculation because the left is completely insane. And the idea of a school teacher from California driving across the country just to hilariously fail in an attempt to assassinate literally anybody, it's perfectly believable. So we'll entertain the, you know, speculation about what else could be at play here. But I think what's really at play here is the continual expression of leftist violence that never gets addressed. And so it's only going to keep happening, obviously. So we'll get into that. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 27th of April, 2026. A Supreme Court case over pesticides is bringing out MAHA moms and the threats of consequences for the midterms. We will show you the videos. Of course, this morning was the big rally that we talked about a lot with Tiffany Cianci last week, protesting against the, protesting at the Supreme Court in favor of them deciding against Roundup and Bayer Monsanto, into where they're trying to make pesticides you're unable to sue if they cause you harm. We'll show you some speeches from that, including Thomas Massie and others. Meanwhile, the White House Correspondents' Dinner gunman believed to have been targeting Trump officials, acting AG says. The 31-year-old gunman who derailed the White House Correspondents' Association dinner is believed to have been targeting members of the Trump administration, acting Attorney General Todd Blanche told multiple news outlets Sunday. The shots fired outside the hotel ballroom triggered a chaotic scene within, with President Trump hastily evacuated. While he was not in immediate danger, the sobering moment adds to a list of close calls that no modern president has faced. And I was just talking about this with producer Scott before the show, where he's like, you know, with all of the anger and outrage and fury around someone like Barack Obama, there was never even anything remotely close to an assassination attempt. Trump has lived through at least four that we know of. This is a problem. This is a major problem, but we'll get back to it. Meanwhile, Iran offers U.S. deal to open Hormuz Strait, postpone nuclear talks. So basically, Iran has given the U.S. a new proposal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and end the war, with nuclear negotiations postponed for a later stage, according to U.S. official with two sources with knowledge. So we are apparently entering into negotiations again with Iran. We'll see where this goes. We'll keep an eye on that, and I'll break down sort of what the negotiations are looking like. But this whole war with Iran thing, it's kind of done a number to our international reputation. Germany's MERS says Iran is humiliating U.S. as talks stall. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz said on Monday that Iran's leadership was humiliating the United States and getting U.S. officials to travel to Pakistan and then leave without results in an unusually abrupt rebuke over the conflict, as if we needed the Chancellor of Germany to tell us what we can see with our own eyes. And it's been humiliation upon humiliation, piled one upon the other. We'll show you some of that here. But finally, Republican lawmakers seek to grant U.S. benefits to Israeli soldiers. It was recently reported the U.S. congressmen are seeking to pass legislation that would grant Israeli soldiers certain U.S. military benefits by fundamentally changing the reason military benefits are granted, from U.S. service to U.S. citizenship. So there's something like 20,000 IDF soldiers currently living in America. And for some reason, for some godforsaken, inexplicable, utterly ridiculous reason, two American congressmen are trying to get America to pay for the retirement of soldiers that fought for Israel. I tell you what, when I learned that there were 20,000 IDF soldiers in America, my first response is, we are in extreme danger. They all have to be arrested and deported immediately. These are war criminals we're talking about. They live here. Get them out.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon from the InfoWars headquarters. This will be our final week in the InfoWars headquarters. Hell, we're not even going to make it through the whole week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we will be here in the Central Texas Command Center. On Friday, we will be broadcasting out of our remote location. And in fact, guys, we have the videos in. I have in here a video of sort of what this looks like, or at least what it feels like. And it's the Star Wars video. And if we can find that, it's essentially what's happening here. The Death Star is hovering above the Rebel base, and soon they will unleash the laser cannon and obliterate us completely from orbit. And that's fine, because we are the Rebellion. We will continue to fight. We will simply move up sticks and move somewhere else and plant our flag once again. So we're not going anywhere. We are going to continue our mission. We're actually only going to get bigger and better. And this whole office has been a hive of activity as we prepare for the big move later this week. You can support us, and I really hope you do, by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Yeah, let's go to this. Let's go to this video. This is a live behind-the-scenes look at what we've been doing here at the InfoWars headquarters. Let's watch.
Your primary target will be the power generators. Prepare to open shield.
Rebel ships are coming into our sector.
Good. Our first catch of the day.
Stand by. Ion control. Fire.
The first transport is away. The first transport. Away.
The first transport is away. That's exactly how it feels. I'll tell you that right now. That's certainly how it feels. But we're not going to talk about InfoWars this whole time, obviously, although I did really enjoy that last hour of the Alex Jones show. I mean, you got to share that around. And me and Rex are working on this as well. I think he talked about it a lot during his morning show. But really, what we need, because this is an information war, and as nice as it would be if we could just, like, tell people things in whatever tone of voice and they could just sort of hear the facts for what they are and then judge them on their own volition, like, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now, because that's not how things work. You have to actually, like, tell people things in a way that connects with them and corresponds to and is conforms to the pre-established signals that your brain is looking for to tell you this is legitimate, pay attention to this. And again, it's not like we'll do it in a dishonest way, but you have to understand that there's a reason why, like, every news broadcast sounds exactly the same, why they literally train people in journalism school to talk in a certain cadence, because Americans have been basically programmed to accept things said in that cadence as true. It's like a deep, deep psychological programming that people don't even recognize, and that, like, it's hard to even break. You know, it's one of those things where Lord of the Rings does it especially well. The music in Lord of the Rings is so good, and the editing is so good, you cannot actually care about it at all, but, like, you're gonna tear up at the sad scene. You might not care about the characters, you might hate the characters involved, but just, like, when it hits you with the music and the visuals and the words are saying, it just, even if you know it's coming, if you've seen it 1,000 times, even if you're like, I'm prepared, I'm not, this is not going to make me sad, they can hack your brain. You don't have control over that, actually. They are going to make you sad. They are going to play the sad music. They are going to show the sad images, and it's going to make you sad, even if you're prepared for it. Even if you know it's coming and are mentally, you know, trying to resist, there are certain things that it's just instinct at this point. I mean, it's been programmed so much, or in the case of something like music, you know, touching a part of your soul, it really is instinct. It really is inherited. They don't have to program it at all. They just have to know how to access those particular, you know, levers in your brain, essentially. And so that, I feel like that happens with news media, where it's like, I know it's fake. I know what they're telling me is BS, but they say it in such a convincing way. They say it in a way that just is designed to put across a feeling of confidence and superiority and calm authority in the face of chaos. And it's just, it works. It works. What else can you say? It actually does something to the human brain that they are more likely to believe something, even when it's totally ridiculous, even when it's, you know, ridiculous on the face of it. The way it's presented matters a lot. So anyway, like I can watch Alex Jones present the information and understand the information he's presenting is accurate and just extrapolate for myself, or just, you know, obviously I empathize with him in general, but I wouldn't need to. I mean, it's just, you lay out the facts, and if you look at the facts in an unbiased way, you go, wow, this is crazy. This is horrible what they did to Alex. Like, I can't believe they got away with this. I can't believe people went along with it. But for a lot of normies out there, they see Alex Jones talking about it, and they're able just to ignore it completely. Even though the facts are devastating, it's just like, yeah, well, but who cares? You know, it's just, yeah, well, but it's Alex Jones. So, you know, why should we give him any consideration? So I think what we need to do like a full-fledged, honest-to-God, authentic-looking, like 60 minutes piece, where it just presents everything in a totally unbiased and moderate way. Because even just the bare facts of this case presented in a moderate and unbiased way are shocking and horrifying. So we'll get into it. But that last hour of the Alex Jones Show was very powerful and, you know, very convincing if you actually care about the truth and being right and holding your government to account when it is just behaving in the most abominable and tyrannical way you can ever possibly imagine. But we got a lot to talk about. Beyond that, we're not going to be talking about Sandy Hook, but really at all today, but I didn't want to mention that we are working on stuff behind the scenes, and just, you know, maybe it's up to you to be bringing this up to your friends and family, and just, you know, instead of expecting them to accept when you're just like, you know, Alex Jones is dangerous, and so the deep state's trying to destroy him, like, that'll just go in one ear and out the other. But, like, you explain that there's an innocent guy that simply, like, said what he thought about an event, and that they have destroyed his entire life and basically rigged a trial right in front of everybody. Like, it's a crazy story. It's a crazy story, and it should be presented in a unbiased way, because you don't need to be biased to understand how insane this story is. But I hope you support us. And it is very easy to support us, and it's even easier now. And you've got 4 days. You've got 4 days to buy stuff from Infowars.com that actually have Infowars as a branding. Obviously, the Alex Jones store will continue to operate. If you've pre-ordered or, you know, subscribed to supplements, they'll continue to be delivered. You can continue to place orders at the Alex Jones store, and they will be fulfilled just like they always have been, because the AlexJonesStore.com is the engine for our escape pod. All right. We will continue to operate off of the AlexJonesStore.com. So no matter what, you can always go there. You can always order with confidence, knowing that you're going to get the best possible product that we can offer at a very good price, and you support this mission going forward. You are not contributing to the payouts to the bankruptcy at all. You're contributing to the rebuilding of InfoWars in a newer and cooler and better manifestation. These are awesome. Are these new coins? I haven't even seen these yet. Our coins are always cool, but I love the designs of those. Those look very cool. Those must be some of the new collectibles. Because this week, it's the last week you can buy InfoWars branded material. You are not going to be able to after Thursday at midnight. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And it is the best mega sale in InfoWars history, folks. And that's a lot like saying it's the, you know, greatest meme in InfoWars history, the greatest Alex Jones show in InfoWars history. It's like you're talking about a series of sales that are unprecedented, and this is the best that there's ever been. So we're just getting better and better, to tell you the truth. This is the final week to enter to win both the Ford Raptor and the custom H1 Hummer, plus $20,000 in cash, because every dollar you spend gets 100 times the entries to win both of these incredible cars, as well as $10,000 in cash each. Plus, we're giving you a free $10 to use on anything at thealexjonesstore.com that's supplied at checkout. Also, you get a free InfoWars dog tag. Right now, every order over $100 gets a free InfoWars dog tag collectible. And we're also pre-selling the silver rounds and the Faraday cage bag. We have new InfoWars silver rounds. It's a collector's piece. It's not just a silver round. It is a piece of InfoWars history. And for a limited time, you can get the InfoWars silver round rugged RF shielding roll top day pack together for just $249.99. So you get the silver round and the Faraday bag for under $250. And of course, it's well worth it at more than that. And again, April 30th will be your last chance to get official InfoWars products. So don't wait till then. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you and get a piece of history before it's too late. Now, we're going to get into the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting and the shooter and the people suspecting that this was a false flag operation, which in and of itself is kind of hilarious to me. Ironic, at least, maybe is a better word for it. That, and we've talked about this before, in 2012, when the Sandy Hook shooting happened, a lot of people questioned it, to be honest with you, but it wasn't the most common reaction. Now, a shooting happens, an assassination attempt happens, a video goes viral, and 90% of people, it seems like, are questioning the official story, which is good because we've been lied to so much and everybody should be questioning the official story. The question is, when does that become detrimental to actually getting to the truth? Because you've got to be able to sort of puzzle things out logically. And even if you just have the bare minimum facts about what happened last night, it would be hard to understand how or why such a thing would be faked. And that's what you have to ask. Because as much as secret things happen, clandestine agreements are made, groups are carrying out secret operations all the time, they're still human beings. They still have to operate within reality. This isn't a computer program that they can just like change the code willy-nilly and just like see if it works, and if it doesn't, go back and change it again. Like, if you're going to have somebody go try to shoot up a place, they've either got to be brainwashed like MK Ultra to where they don't even know what the hell they're doing and it will just be considered insane when a psychologist ever tries to actually talk to them, or you have to actually convince them to go do this, and you can convince them for ulterior, like you might have ulterior motives to convince them, and you know, you don't necessarily hate the president, but you want something to happen, you know, that needs the president assassination attempt to go. So you can feed into that. You'll feed into the hatred of Trump, or if you want to do a mass shooting at a grocery store, you can feed into racial hatred. It doesn't really matter. But like, if you're going to have somebody actually go and destroy their own lives for this, because Cole Allen, the shooter that's been caught now, or that was caught carrying it out, you know, basically was immediately tackled and brought down, his life is over. So what's the compensation for that? And he very well could have been killed. So like, if this is going to happen, you've either got to brainwash the guy like MK Ultra, you've got to convince him that it's the real deal. You have to like have him blackmailed or something. Because again, you know, if somebody is facing life in prison, what is their incentive to keep their mouth shut? If this is part of a big, you know, multifaceted, multi-people operation, you've got to guarantee that that person's not going to talk and not going to make a plea deal to, you know, get his the people he was working with in. What I'm saying is that just by looking at this on the face of it and the evidence that we already know, it's highly unlikely that it was a hoax in the traditional sense at all. I think it's much more likely that we've seen instance after instance after instance of leftist violence against right-wingers. And at every pass, the media supports the violence against right-wingers. And the right-wingers downplay it and brush it off and laugh at it or don't take it seriously. And yet every single time something like this happens, it's the exact same kind of profile. It's a radical leftist Democrat Party adherent who repeats exactly the same talking points that the Republican or the Democrat leadership does, is radicalized straight up by the MSM and others, flagrantly lying about the Trump administration, right wingers, or whoever the target of their stochastic terrorism turns out to be. So what are we doing about this? So what is the what is the response to this that should be happening? Because to me, it seems like 7 months ago or so, when Charlie Kirk was murdered in broad daylight in front of everybody, that would have been a great time to actually do the things that they pretended to do in the aftermath. Remember when they pretended to make Antifa a domestic terrorist organization, so they were going to find out who their funders were and round them all up and charge them with, you know, sufficient and appropriate crimes for their anti-American activity. That never happened. Remember when Kash Patel said he'd be removing the ADL from basically their position as instructors of the FBI? I don't think that ever happened either. There were a lot of promises made in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination that promised to go after the source of some of the radicalization that we're seeing across the country. None of it ever happened. And so all that happened was the left learned they can kill us with no consequence. In fact, they only benefit. In fact, since Charlie Kirk was murdered, we've gone completely off the rails and are at each other's throats. And at this point, the number one people questioning the assassination attempt last night are right-wingers who are suspicious of Trump and, you know, just don't buy anything he says anymore, which is like, why? Why? Okay, maybe it's fake. Okay, maybe. So what? So like, until we find evidence of that, until you can actually tell me who would be staging it and for what reason, let's just assume that it's exactly what it looks like. Let's just assume that this was a radicalized leftist teacher from California that thought he'd be a hero by going and murdering a bunch of people around Donald Trump. And of course he would have been. Of course, we've seen the evidence. We don't even need to speculate. There's already been murders occurred that were way less justified by any means, right? Obviously, I'm not trying to justify the assassination of Donald Trump at all. At all. But at least it's like, you know, a political assassination against like a key leader that would cause significant change. Like, okay, I can at least see how a radical would choose that as a target. But what about the cold-blooded backstabbing murder of Brian Thompson, the healthcare CEO? Never hurt anybody, never did anything bad. In fact, was one of the only people at the insurance company who seemed to notice and care about the damage that the insurance company was doing and was working to mitigate the, you know, unintended consequences of the insurance industry, right? Brian Thompson was the one going, hey, we should try to keep people healthy, not just cure them once they're sick. Hey, we should be paying people to like do regular doctor checkups instead of just waiting until they're about to die and then going into the hospital and costing us a ton of money. He was actually working towards correcting the issues of the insurance industry as it stands now. And he was shot in the back, and then mainstream so-called moderate lefties with, you know, very prominent positions and profiles in the American public are out there celebrating it, you know, talking about what a hero Luigi Mangione is, and, you know, crowds of people outside of his jail cell celebrating him. And it's like accepted. So all this is to say that we have a gigantic, totally unaddressed problem in this country, which is leftist violence, which is violence from the left. And it's motivated by any of the leftist fabricated grievances, whether it's white supremacy or imperialism or racism or whatever the nonsense is these people have their heads filled up with. It's all pushing in the same direction. It's all on purpose, and it's all designed to destroy the United States completely, because while the left is just openly, again, just flagrantly violent. I mean, there's so many examples of this. There was a guy, I think his name's Christian Hines on X. He's one of the best Twitter follows. I've recommended him a lot. And I guess he was doxxed because you've got these Jewish groups running around. You've got these leftist groups running around. They have friends inside X. They have friends inside big tech. They get access to your information. Then they publish it through a site like StopAntisemitism.com, who has published the profile of the spouses of both Cenk Uygur and Anna Kasparian, who are totally apolitical. Cenk's wife is a therapist, I think, and Anna's husband, like, coaches baseball. Stop Antisemitism just recently, like, put out their profiles, their faces, basically saying these people are extremists and shouldn't be allowed to have jobs, because apparently Jews in this country have just appointed themselves to dictate who can and can't live in our country based on whether they or somebody associated with them or one of their family members is sufficiently subservient enough to the Israelis. And if you're not, then they'll go out of your way to destroy you, and they'll have access to these hacker tools or the back end of big tech companies in order to find your identity, in order to try to destroy your life. And nobody's doing anything about any of this. But Christian Hines was doxxed, I guess, by somebody, and Hassan Piker's fans are just photoshopping images of him being killed and just openly threatening to murder him. And nobody gets removed. Nobody gets canceled. Nobody gets, kicked off of X. And it's not like this is a new thing. It's not like this is a unexpected thing. It's not like this is even, something that we haven't been faced with ourselves. I mean, there's time a couple years ago where, like, my full docs were up on X. I reported it. I tried to, like, but then you're stuck in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because what you should be able to do is, like, call to your audience and say, hey, everybody go report this post. But now you're just reposting and drawing attention to the post that has all your personal information. So there's no real good way to deal with it. But this has been the case for a long time. Lefties get to make death threats. They get to dox you and get away with it. On the right wing, if you simply go to your school board meeting and protest the inclusion of graphic homosexual pornography in your elementary school, you're going to go on a list and you're going to be targeted and you're going to be questioned by the FBI. And so once again, just like everything else we deal with in this country and with this administration in particular, we are facing an existential crisis that they are not just utterly failing to address in any meaningful way at all. If anything, they're making it worse, and they continually make it worse. And by not acting, by not raising a finger to help the actual American people that are trying to get this country back on track, they are ensuring that we lose forever, which is why, personally, I'm more mad at the right than I am at the left right now. I'm more mad at the Republicans than I am at the Democrats. Of course, Democrats are insane, psychotic children. We know that. It's the right wing that's supposed to stomp them into the dirt and say, shut the hell up, go away, you're an idiot. We won't do that. We listen to them endlessly for some reason. So it's like, yes, the Democrats, the insane lefties out there, they are like a rabid dog. They're like a rabid pit bull. But the Republicans are the one that threw the pit bull into the preschool and slammed the door shut, all right? I'm not all that mad at the pit bull for doing what's in its nature. I'm mad at the scumbags that are setting us up to take the fall for it, that are setting us up to be the victims of the insane rabid pit bull, that all they've done is kick him in the nuts, poke him in the eye, and then pointed him towards us. That's how it feels at this point. And we're going to see more assassination attempts before this gets fixed.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world, and they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class Hispanic family, they
Stop. Forget the polls and
listen.
Donnie's back with an ancient invention.
Do this.
If you need public support, just fake your own hit and treat it as a sport.
Was it ever real, yo?
Hell no. But people like to root for the underdog. So if you need a problem, yo, just fake it. Create a spectacle and let the lefties take it. Now that the PSYOP is pumping, everyone's hype and reporters are jumping. Use that. Diversion has fuel, put a band-aid on it.
Everything's cool if they
start asking about your year.
Just fake it like me for the past 30 years.
The good assassination will never fail, he. So you can run the master plans of the Israeli. And when you mess up a big dirty war, just say, look, we won like you did before. If you need a problem, yo, just fake it. Just make it look real and let the lefties take it.
Secret Service agent in charge of protecting Trump the day of the second assassination attempt.
You guys don't have any weapons or anything?
Give me a handshake that you don't have any guns. Don't make me look stupid. A lot of people have been coming up to me and saying, why didn't you do a better sweep? And I just want to defend the work that I'm doing. Pinky swear?
What?
No, they're clear. I mean, the shooter's actually lucky I didn't find him because I would have grabbed that Yeah, I think we have to go back to Wendy's.
So it's over there.
I think we've been clearing the wrong place for the last 2 hours. People like to think it's some easy job. I'm on my feet 8 hours a day, hungover from the night before, because when I get to a city, I like to rock out with the locals, get some intel if there's any shooters.
Long day, though.
No, just easy day.
Well, it was long for me.
Cops really start spazzing up after a day of sweeping. At the after hour, some guy was bragging that he stabbed a guy back in the day, so I told him not to come. That's one less threat right there.
I think I lost my keys somewhere.
Sing a song to President Trump. I will follow you. Follow you wherever you may go.
Well, if you see anything weird, hit me up.
Back on the path of righteousness, solid morals, and common
decency. No, I think this guy's good.
If you let me rock a slice, I'll turn a blind eye.
Now they've taken me off golf course duty altogether, which sucks because I'm actually nasty on the course.
Okay, would you also pinky swear?
Sometimes when things get a little slow, you can squeak the clubs in, sneak in a few holes. Actually, you know what? Can you delete that part?
AT&T, how can I help you?
I put in a few extra hours at the call center when I have some downtime. Hashtag overemployed.
Truth is, I never really wanted to be a Secret Service agent. My true passion is rap.
Metaphorical, astrological, anatomical.
Yo, you guys want to just fuck off and hit the ponies?
Amazing stuff. Ryan Long there. Ryan Long giving us a frankly accurate look at the qualities and capabilities of the Secret Service. Now, we're on display yesterday during the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Of course, this is, you know, one of the things about... Well, I don't know. I guess it could kind of go either way. I was going to say one thing about false flags is, like, they tend to be a little bit messy. They're a little rough around the edges. But then again, it could be too cut and dry as well. You sort of got to judge it either way. because as far as things appear, this is the most like cut and dry thing you've ever seen. It's a radical leftist who just repeats all the same talking points that the left does. And he wanted to kill Trump and become a hero. Like, it's not actually all that complicated. And he wrote a manifesto explaining why. And it all seems pretty clear cut. I'm not even sure what the ulterior motive would be. I see people pointing to, like, the ballroom. And I'll tell you, this ballroom thing, like, what the hell is going on? What is the ballroom? What is it? I don't think it's just a ballroom anymore. It's become a thing. It's, like, inexplicable to me. Started out like a year ago with Trump being like, I'm going to add a ballroom to the White House. And it's like, okay, fine. Who cares? Like, who cares? Stuff gets done to the White House all the time. They like redo the Rose Garden. They take out a basketball court and put in a tennis court. They change the swimming pool. I mean, stuff happens all the time. So it's like, okay, they're going to build a ballroom. Great. Sounds fun. Anyway, moving on. And now it's like the number. Now it's like the only thing that Trump talks about. Like, what is it? Well, why is it such a thing? Like, what is going on with it? I don't get it. I see people, I like the people are saying it's the ballroom with two A's, B-A-A-L, room. I've also seen people associated with the Solomon's Temple. Apparently the design is kind of curious, but like it's sort of such a great example of how off the rails we've gone is, and I know Alex talked a lot about people being like, oh, this was a false flag to make Erica Kirk's threat seem more legitimate. Again, yeah, I agree. That's nonsense. Total horse manure. Like, what are you even talking about? But I've seen an equal number of people be like, this was to get Republicans to support Trump's ballroom. And it's just like, what? You're telling me they staged an assassination attempt so that Republicans would get on board with the ballroom that's already being built? Like, what are we talking about? What the hell are you talking about? False flags to start wars? Okay, yeah. False flags to psyop an entire nation into multiple series of wars? Okay, yeah, you're going to pull off a false flag. A false flag to kill a rising and you know, influential political figure? Okay, sure, you're going to want to pull that off and blame it on somebody else. That makes sense. But it's like, what? But you think this is about the ballroom? And apparently it is. I mean, Trump has made this all about, but he keeps talking about the ballroom. And I'm sorry, what the hell? Why are we talking about a ballroom? Can we not just build a ballroom and just, it can just, they announce they're going to build it. You forget about it. A year later, they're like, it's done. You're like, oh, right, a ballroom. Yeah, I forgot. Oh, it looks nice. Like, that should be it. That should be the extent of our knowledge about the White House ballroom. And it doesn't seem, you know, a lot of times what happens is Trump tries to do something very normal, and then it's the left that goes completely insane about it. And maybe the most weird thing about the ballroom is I don't know any lefties who give a damn. I don't think anyone cares. I don't get it. So it's like, because typically what would happen would be, it'd be Trump like, we're going to build a big ballroom. We need a ballroom. It's going to be huge and beautiful. And everybody's Trump's for is like, okay, makes sense. Cool. Do that behind the scenes, whatever. Deportate. Can we get to mass deportations now? And then we would just move on and whatever. And then the left would go, Trump is trying to make a ballroom where he will be hanging black people by their necks until dead. And it's like, well, what? And it's like the racist history of the ballroom. Do you know that balls were once held during lynching ceremonies for Jews in the 1200s? And it's like, what? What? Like, typically, Trump does something normal, like build a ballroom, and it's the left who decides to extrapolate it out to be some insane plot by Trump, and then we have to sit here going, what the hell are you talking about? It's just a ballroom. But now, it's Trump making the ballroom, nobody cares, but every time he's asked about anything, he's like, but the ballroom, though. But have you seen my ballroom? It was what he said when he was asked about Charlie Kirk for the first time. Sir, your adopted son has been murdered on live TV. What do you have to say to that? Well, I'm building this big ballroom over here. What is going on with the ballroom? The more I talk, the more I think about it now, the more I realize, like, how crazy this is. I haven't really thought about it yet, but, like, why do I have 4 videos about the ballroom? Why are there entire articles about the ballroom? What the hell? Why do people think that there's an assassination attempt faked just to build the ballroom that's already being built and that nobody cares about? This is people. We need to have some sort of barrier to conspiracy theories. You're not allowed to speculate if you haven't had a successful conspiracy theory play out at least once before. We've got feathers in our cap, folks. We called COVID-19 to a T. We called the war with Iran to a T. We've nailed all of this stuff repeatedly because we base our suppositions and our analysis off of what is real and makes sense. But now the whole sector is flooded with people who think everything in the world is about Erica Kirk and the ballroom, and it's just like, what the hell are we doing here, y'all? You're messing up our groove, okay? We're trying to get to real things. And by the way, why does anybody think it's a false flag? It's a crazy leftist who got caught. He's got a manifesto. Like, false flags almost always have certain, like, the people die as they're pulling it off. I mean, look at Butler. And as much as I think the Butler attack was legitimate, like it was an actual attack, I think we have the photos that show the bullet whizzing by. I've been over it over and over, just all of the various things that happened that make me believe it actually occurred. But it's like the guy who tries to pull it off gets no resistance for a long time. Like if last night the guy at the White House Correspondents' Dinner had run all the way into the ballroom and like gotten shots off at Trump, like, okay, now we're talking about, this was kind of crazy. In Butler, the guy spends 5 minutes in full view of everybody setting his shot up while people are yelling and pointing, shooter on the roof, shooter on the roof. Then, you know, somebody dies. You know, people in the background actually get hit by the bullets and end up dying. Trump gets hit in the ear, and then the assassin is killed, and it gets completely buried, and there's no investigation into who he was in contact with, and all of his internet activity had been completely scrubbed, and all of the silverware in his house had been scrubbed to the point where it didn't even have fingerprints on it anymore, and then it's completely buried, and it goes away, and then that's it. That's not necessarily a hoax, but a false flag, certainly. That certainly has the conditions of a false flag. Again, not saying that the wound wasn't real or the bullets weren't real. I think they were real. A false flag means the attack happened, but was then blamed on somebody else. Again, I think people get confused by this. Anyway, the point is, like, okay, we have examples of assassination attempts or, you know, major political public events where you can see what it looks like when things aren't adding up. You can see how things go when certain facts are being withheld and, you know, they pretend not to know things that they definitely know. I mean, we can see what it looks like. So then when you look at this White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting, the guy's got a manifesto where he explains about the Trump admin targeted kill list. He wrote that he prioritized them from highest ranking to lowest. This is from Infowars.com. Gunman's manifesto reveals Trump admin target list prioritized from highest ranking to lowest. The shooter's intent was to target Trump and admin officials. The shooter had donated to Harris for President via Act Blue. The shooter was apprehended and taken into custody, carrying a shotgun, handgun, and several knives. The shooter has been identified as Cole Thomas Allen, 31, of Torrance, California. No injuries to Trump or any guests. Incidents near lobby magnometer. It's the metal detectors. I don't know what this new word is that they're trying to make happen. Trump praised Secret Service rapid response. But here's where it gets a little confusing. Here's where we get the wild cards coming in. There are a couple of synchronicities, you might say, that are heretofore unexplained and seemingly inexplicable. So people search the name of the shooter, Cole Allen, and they found that, oh yeah, and the Israeli magician, that's a whole other wrinkle in all of this. But they searched this name, Cole Allen, and they find a Twitter account from several years ago that tweeted one time, and they wrote the words Cole Allen. And the profile picture of this account from years ago is a picture of, it's a classic picture of the internet meme Pepe the Frog. He's holding a champagne glass and wearing a tuxedo, and it looks like really shockingly similar to how Trump looked at that exact moment. Like, there are just a few coincidences too many for this not to make you ask questions. And I'm not sure if we – let's go to clip 29 here. This is – I guess he goes by Goth Daddy, but I think he brings up a good point about whether this was staged or not and whether it even matters. And then I'll show you the really creepy, weird stuff, the inexplicable connections here in just a second. Let's go to 29 here. This is Goth Daddy. I don't know, but he makes a good point. Let's watch.
A lot of people are saying, like, it's staged. It's irrelevant. I think by this point, it's fucking redundant if it is or not. I think it's utterly irrelevant if it's staged or not. Those trans people, schools, those were not staged. That was real, tangible, undeniable leftist violence. It's not staged. That was a real, addled, mixed, rotted to the core.
All right, so that's him making the point that it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter whether it was real or not, because the fact is we do have these lefties running around our country that are insane, that their brains are addled with the drugs and the propaganda and the hatred poured into their ears continuously from the time they were children. They are violent. They are proud of being violent. I mean, my God, we had elementary school teachers on camera, you know, mocking Charlie Kirk getting shot in the neck. These people are insane, and we have to do something about it. And I know conservatives are very scared to do this because it feels a little bit like censorship, because what you're saying is these ideas these people are spreading are poisonous and bad for our country and inspiring violence. But the moment they inspire violence, you have to do something about them. You have to counter-program. You have to send counselors in to say, look, this is, and you have to certainly stop schools from pushing this on children. I mean, we have to reclaim sanity in this country. We have to reclaim sanity. We have to just stop giving the benefit of the doubt, stop giving credence to these psychopaths, because we are being destroyed by our own endless tolerance and empathy for psychotics, for people who are completely and utterly insane, and they're pushing that insanity on everybody else. So I think we can go to clip 29 here. I'm just trying to figure out how to lay out like this weird time traveling aspect of this assassination. I think we can go to clip 28 here. So you've got this Twitter account with the Pepe that looks exactly like Donald Trump saying Cole Allen's the only thing that he said. His profile picture is the Pepe. His profile banner header image is a sort of vague picture of a bunch of colors. But if you look at it in a certain way, you can kind of see this overlay of the famous picture. And it's, you know, it may, there's a term for this, pareidolia or whatever it's called, where it's basically, you know, you see eyes, you see faces and things that there aren't eyes or faces. And this may be something similar. Maybe you could find other images and overlay it on top of it. But it's a little bit interesting, and it's not something I would pay too much attention to, except that that image apparently came from a website that is a time traveling website, apparently, which is a little bit suspicious. And there's all of this stuff about young Trump, Barron Trump, and all this stuff. It gets very strange. Let's go to clip 18 here. This is by somebody named Dimitri Revolt, and he, well, you'll see it go through quickly, but I think this gives you a good idea of sort of what I'm trying to get across here. Let's go to clip 18 now.
Thank you.
It's a little fast, a little schizophrenic. But you got to admit there's something there, right? Like, again, the number of coincidences. So you've got this guy, Henry Martinez, anonymous account, with the Pepe, holding the champagne with the bow tie and the tux. His one tweet on December 21st, 2023, was Cole Allen. December 21st, is it the solstice? What's the one? Yeah, not the equinox. Isn't that the winter solstice, December 21st? Wasn't it December 21st, 2012, that they thought the Mayan calendar ended? That day, December 21st, itself kind of strikes me as maybe a bit suspicious. And again, the image of Trump wearing the tuxedo with the champagne glass in exactly the right place. I mean, okay, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe. But he posts one tweet, and all it says is Cole Allen. And that's it. In 2023. And then he's got a header that says Time Machine, and it does kind of look like that famous picture from the assassination in 2025. So, or 2024, rather, was the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination. Are you suspicious? And then you've got the 1893 is the last part of his username, which again almost harkens back to 4chan and the idea of trips, where essentially every post gets a randomly generated number ID, or not randomly generated, but it generates the next one in the sequence. And there's sort of this magic eight ball effect or Ouija board effect on 4chan, where if your ID number ended with a series of the same number over and over and over, then it was seen as, it was kind of a joke, you know, on 4chan. And as the video said, you know, there's this, I got it. It kind of gets complicated, but this is like synchronicity. This goes back to like 2015, 2016. This was a very big deal. And it is crazy. All of this stuff is legitimately like questionable. Because what happens is there is this sort of feedback loop. It's a Ouija board thing where somebody posts something. If it's a good post and it has the ID with the three sevens at the end or three sixes at the end, then people will notice that and they'll point that out. And it's kind of like, oh, this is an important post. It got trips. Even though it's random, it's a self-fulfilling sort of thing, because posts that aren't good and are trash but have the triple numbers, like, just nobody notices and it just sort of goes through. But what happens is there comes this like positive feedback loop where you notice the posts that have the extra numbers on the end, and then they get more attention and they seem more profound or more, you know, predicting that way. And it all centered around this idea of Keck, K-E-K, being a god. And as I understand it, and this could be wrong, but as I understand it, I think in World of Warcraft forums at one point, people were saying LOL so much that they banned LOL. And so then people started saying L-E-L to say laugh out loud, and then they banned that. And so then people started saying K-E-K, and it basically just meant laugh out loud. But because LOL was banned in these chat in the World of Warcraft, and again, I could be wrong about this, but this is where you get the word Keck, and it became this whole thing where it was like, oh, everybody, all the minorities are getting special benefits for being minorities. Let's all say we're from a made up country. Let's call it Kekistan. Isn't that funny? And so it became this like big thing on 4chan. And then people found out that there was like an ancient Egyptian god named Keck, who was the god of chaos, who was symbolized by a frog. And then you've got Pepe the frog as the symbol of 4chan, and 4chan being an engine of chaos. And it was all this like synchronicity stuff. And then you had discovered these books from 1893 called Barron Trump's Marvelous Journey to the Center of the Earth, I think is one of them. And then there was another one called The Last President. And I believe they're by the same guy, Ingersoll Lockwood. Is that it? Ingersoll Lockwood. Now, I remember being on 4chan when the first person posted this book, and they're just like, guys, this is weird. And I think the first one was The Last President, because The Last President is a story. It's a novel from the 1890s, And it's saying the last president of the United States was elected, and he was a businessman who had a tower on Fifth Avenue, and he's watching from his tower on Fifth Avenue as all of the leftist socialists are, like, rioting because he won the election. And it was, it's crazy how, like, the, I mean, the associations to Donald Trump are, like, beyond coincidence. You know, in that video, they show a bunch of the Illuminati cards, and it's like, okay, Is it really Trump, or is it just a blonde guy and they kind of look similar? But when you're talking about a business magnate that decided to run for president and lives on a tower in a tower in Fifth Avenue and all this stuff, the coincidences were incredible. And then they found Baron Trump's Marvelous Journey, where a character named Baron Trump travels through time by going to the center of the Earth. And it's like, is something here? What is this? Are we all going insane, or is the Earth telling us something?
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and picking up a bottle of Zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.